This is Maurice Jones-Drew, and you're listening to the What's Brewing Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for West Coast Bias, the show brought to you all the way from the best coast. It's the West Coast Bias, that is. Aw, yeah.
Hello, welcome to West Coast Bias. I'm your host, Jake Maribel. I'm here with Jamal Artis, Champs Pop 1015.
What's up, fellas?
Bill Singer, Tubi's watching the finals.
I am.
Screw you, Bill.
I'm trying to multitask just to give you a peek behind the curtain. We've started the What's Brewing Show. We're waiting for Mike to be available. We've recorded the intro. We've recorded a 12-minute segment in the middle about Utah football dominance and Terry Donahue rip.
You still have that Utah from your trip? Is that why you wanted to jump on the Utes?
It just occurred to me after being on their campus up there in Salt Lake City. A beautiful place, by the way.
I'm sure it is.
It's a really lovely campus.
Salt Lake is beautiful.
But anywho, yeah, I'm skipping around here. So I have like four different segments of podcasts set up. And now because when I was trying to talk to Bill about Utah football, he was rapt rooting for Drew Holiday. Go Bruins.
And go Valley and Giannis, kids. Yeah. We're Valley guys now, Jake.
You're absolutely right about that, Bill. We damn right we are. So I'm going to let Bill watch the end of the finals, and I'm going to capture Jamal's attention to get started on West Coast Bias.
That's why you're a producer extraordinaire.
I'm trying because, I know I only have Bill's like a ticking clock, and by the time we hit a certain time period, he just like kind of falls asleep on me.
He turns into the Tin Man.
I have one more conversation to have with him about LSU football than I want to have because, as he knows, me as a proud Southern American, from the Bayou.
And Harry Connick Jr. Yeah. It's Jake and Harry Connick Jr. right there, and just below him, Dr. John.
Exactly. Rip Dr. John, by the way. Anywho, Jamal.
Yo.
The Dodgers.
Holy crap.
Broski.
Brocephus. It's really hard to.
When we started the season, they were loaded, the most talented team in Major League Baseball. Now they have a guy that's suspended indefinitely. They got all-time great that's injured. They got another all-time great that's injured. They got another rookie that's injured. They got another guy who's their younger all-time great. He's injured. Like, I could just keep saying this, and I'm not going to run out of guys to talk about being injured.
Nope, probably not.
What is the current state of the Dodgers right now, Jamal? Coming off the All-Star break and losing to the Gigantes last night. Are they still losing to them tonight?
They're still losing to them tonight.
Darn it.
Because they have to do another bullpen game because they have no starting pitchers.
Right. What happened?
Everyone got injured. You
already said. Or suspended indefinitely.
They've really all their depth for all the depth that we thought they had has really fallen by the wayside, mostly because of injury.
It's brutal.
Yeah, it's very brutal. It's hard to watch, both in the lineup and there always seems to be. Mookie Betts was like 10 of 14 coming out of the All-Star break, and he immediately hurts his hip. So now he's missed the last two games. They've lost those games.
Did he pinch hit last night?
He did, but it was they were down at that point. They were down 7-2. So,
Bill, your thoughts on Mookie? Just say get well soon.
No. I'm just going to say he's a Jordan Brand guy, so I love him.
And I love him despite that.
Yes.
God, I love Mookie Betts.
I love him too. I mean, it looked like he was finally breaking out, and then he hurt his hip coming out of the All-Star game. It's just ridiculous. When we talked about the Lakers, we said worst case scenario. Well, it's starting to get worst case scenario for the Dodgers.
Right.
Because remember when we at the beginning of the season, we were talking about, everything's happening at the beginning of the season. Well, now everything's happening at the beginning, the middle, and it's feeling like at the end of the season.
It's brutal.
And despite all that, they still have the second best record in all of baseball, which is just nuts.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too. Yeah. And who's got the best record in baseball?
The Giants.
The freaking Giants. What the hell is going on?
That's the unfair part. That's really the unfair part.
At the very least, they're solidly in the playoffs.
Yes.
Regardless.
Yeah, they still have a 99% chance.
And
they would host.
Kind of knock on.
A play-in game, basically.
Knock on Bill's head. Knock on wood over here. Knock on that. They couldn't possibly have any worse injury luck at this point.
I don't know.
Could they?
They could. They could lose some guys for the rest of the season instead of all these dumb nagging injuries where they're losing them for 10 games. And oh, by the way, those 10 games, the team's going 2-8 because they can't handle the loss of offensive players. They can't handle another pitching loss, another bullpen loss, that kind of situation.
So when's Kershaw coming back?
Kershaw is not coming back to August. He can't even pick up a ball at the moment.
So when he comes back, there's no. I mean, he's old man too, so it's no telling how he's.
No telling how.
When's Gavin Lux coming back?
Gavin Lux is 10 days. So that's.
Was he playing well before he went out?
No, that's the problem.
That's the problem.
Yeah. Seager might be back soon.
Yeah,
he's finally.
He had a broken hand.
Yeah, from a hit by pitch, but he's finally going to be back doing some. He's going to do a rehab start down in Rancho probably. So you might get.
What the hell's wrong, Cody Bellinger?
He can't hit for shit at the moment. Sorry, folks. He can't. He's 5 of his last 33 with like 300 strikeouts. I know, hyperbolic, but he can't hit for shit. He's hitting. I saw a stat the other night on fastballs. He's hitting like 136. He can't come around on a fastball. I don't know if it has to do with him tweaking
it's
a swing
a
bunch of times the last couple of years, or it's just rust. Because remember, he was out since April because of a freak accident where he injured his leg and was broken. Hairline fracture. He's great still on defense, but he's not reliable on offense, and that's part of the problem. You know, last night they were down 3-0. That's it.
Okay, so the one thing I'm confused about, and you know, they're playing the Giants. They play them like what 8 out of the next 11 games or something.
Yeah.
Some
7 out
like
of
that.
13.
Yeah, they're trailing the Giants in the standings.
Yes,
but you know, even if they're ahead of the Pods, just lost
again.
Yeah. Okay.
They're about the Dodgers. What were 2 games out of first place, and the Padres were like 5.5. So the Dodgers have a 3.5 game
cushion on the
Padres.
Now. Something has changed this year about how transactions happen late in the year, right?
Right.
What changed? Because I was trying to get to the bottom of that, and I can't figure it out.
You're talking about the trade deadline?
Yeah. Well, there's a trade deadline coming up, but I remember baseball was like, there's a trade deadline, and there's another thing where you can get more guys. There's another thing where you get more guys.
Yeah,
is that different this year?
Yes, there's a post-deadline. Post-trade deadline was called like a waiver pickup. So basically, a guy gets waived late in the season. It's usually in August, right? Before the September call-ups. So a guy gets waived by a team, and every team can bid on him. You know, they just have to bid on him. And whoever has priority. So it depends on I think it was standings the year before, like draft status. So it depends on that. Well, they got rid of that. So the Dodgers were kind of making those kind of moves where they didn't have to trade for a guy. Famously, they traded for Yu Darvish in 2017 before the trade deadline, and then there was this waiver deadline, and they picked up Curtis Granderson. But famously, the Astros picked up Justin Verlander. The Tigers waived him. The Astros put in a bid, and they had priority over other teams that put in bids. And you just have to meet the person's remaining salary. That's the other thing. So they don't do that anymore. So the trade deadline is the trade deadline. So they can't make any more moves after the trade deadline short of bringing up their guys in September.
Okay, well, if all they got to the trade deadline, then are they gonna make?
They need
a
to
trade?
Make moves. They need to make moves.
What are they gonna do?
They need starters. They need bullpen help. They need another right-handed bat because they continue to struggle against left-handed pitching. They're in a whole heap of mess. I think.
And it's so crazy that, like, I mean, it's the exact same story that was there for the Lakers.
Yep.
But are there any targets that you personally want? I know. My cousin on Lockdown Dodgers, him and his partner did a possible trade thing a couple days ago. So you could always go there and listen to that. But like, what about you, Jamal? What do you?
Well, there are a couple teams that are already selling. The Cubs are selling, and you know, they got rid of. They had Jock Peterson on their team. They traded him to the Braves.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So you know, there are those options. You know, one of the names that gets brought up is Chris Bryant. Problem is, he plays two positions that the Dodgers can't put somebody there because he plays third base. So obviously that's Justin Turner, and he plays corner outfield. And right now it's guys like Bellinger and Pollock who play there. So and he's not really a defensive upgrade, certainly not over Bellinger, Betts. And he's probably the same as Pollock, so it's kind of redundant. The Nats look like they'll probably be selling. The big name is Scherzer, Max Scherzer. So if we're talking about a
that
starter.
That would be huge.
Yeah, it would be huge. The problem
is. What is that going to happen?
Yeah, the problem is he wants an extension, and he's already 36, I think.
Right.
So.
And he's got that, you know, one weird eye thing.
Right. And, you know, injuries have been an issue. Nothing long term, but he's had a couple
love.
Of tweaks.
I don't care. I would love to have Scherzer.
I would. You kind of have to get somebody like Scherzer right now because the rest of the, you know, there's Kyle Hendricks who plays for the Cubs. He's a left-hander. He can eat up innings. He's not gonna wow you the way Max Scherzer would. But they need somebody who can carry the innings, because the Dodgers are ending up taxing their bullpen so much because they don't have guys who can go long. I mean, we could talk about the elephant in the room, obviously, is Trevor Bauer. Say what you want. Even if he wasn't sharp, he was still going 6-7 innings.
Yeah.
And you need that kind of guy right now, and you'll need him in October, because you can't rely on your bullpen, especially the bullpen the way it's constituted now. So many guys in and out because of injuries, tweaks here, tweaks there. Throwing in rookies. Tonight the Dodgers had Josiah Gray, their top pitching prospect, make his debut. They didn't have him start the game. They had him come in after an opener. He went four innings and gave up four runs. You know, if that's what you're going to... That was tonight. Yeah. If that's what you're going to rely on in October, you're going
to... Right now, they're down 6-5. Right. Joe Kelly just got a second out in the eighth inning. Hopefully, they can mount a comeback here.
Right. You're going to be
two
in
more cracks.
You're going to be in trouble if that's who you're relying on in October.
Yeah, totally, right?
Yeah, so...
You know, how about this, though? Before the season started, the most talented team, they just came off the World Series.
Yes.
We were wondering if they're going to make any major changes. You know, Kershaw hangs around. Justin Turner hangs around. Jock goes, but basically the rest of the crew,
right,
relatively intact, right?
Right.
Looking back now, it looks like a lot of freak injury type stuff happening, you know, with the broken hand on Seager, Mookie not being healthy all year. Do you think that the Dodgers are getting bit in the butt by keeping around some of their old stalwarts, or is that really not an issue here?
It's really not an issue. I know a lot of people, every time Jock Peterson does something or Kiki Hernandez does something, people flip out and saying, you know, well, I wish
I'm more thinking this. Like, you know, should they have, you know, could they have anticipated Kershaw getting hurt like he got hurt?
No.
Or is it more of a LeBron situation where there's no way, like it just kind of happened?
It just kind of happened, yeah.
And
No. I mean, it's inflammation. So, yeah. And it's not, you know, they did an MRI. It's not terrible right now. He can get through it, just some rest and stuff like that. But that's going to happen when you've got guys in their 30s who've pitched a lot of innings.
The other part of this is, you know, they did get Trevor Bauer. They went out and got a guy.
Yeah, they got a guy.
The worst, basically everything that could go wrong
yes.
has gone wrong with that. Number one, you know, before all of the, you know, the latest, the possible criminal conduct
right.
Happened, he was at the very best just polarizing. You know, I mean, before all the news broke about the possible criminal stuff, me and you were in a holy war with Mike and the Godfather over what a dirtbag or not dirtbag the guy was, you know, with all just sorts of, you know, some of it, you know, controversial, and some of it just plain out slander about how he behaved in the past. But also along with that, he was one of the guys who was supposedly most affected by the whole sticky
cheating
stuff. Situation too.
Right.
Do you think that the Dodgers have been more affected as far as like their pitchers, the loss of their pitchers, along with the sticky stuff sort of crackdown? Are they being hurt any more than any other team in the league?
Not really.
Or is it just,
not really.
You know, yeah.
I mean, the you know, a lot of people like to point out, well, their spin rates was higher, and I was, well, they added Trevor Bauer. Obviously, it's like I just said, there's a guy who eats a lot of innings, obviously, so your spin rate's going to be higher because there's a guy throwing a lot of pitches, and it's awesome. That stuff, it's funny how that stuff has just kind of disappeared now. No one is really talking about it. Some of the guys that were suspected, like Gerrit Cole and stuff, he's still having good games. He threw a 1-0, nine inning shutout. Striking out 15 the other day, and nobody mentioned any of that stuff, you know, because those guys are still getting results regardless. I think they're just good pitchers.
I think you just said this too, and you know, we talk about how even though Bauer wasn't sharp, he was still pitching multiple innings.
Right.
Do you think that his loss, because of all the off the field stuff, is in any way mitigated by the fact that he wasn't as effective as he could have been because of the crackdown?
Yeah, I mean, I just think it
in the long run, could the Dodgers maybe replace him with, you know, somebody else via trade or whatever that actually ends up being a net positive?
Yes. I mean, we just mentioned his name, Scherzer.
Scherzer
could, because he's got the pedigree where he can do that. Actually, he's probably consider him a better pitcher than Trevor Bauer, because Trevor Bauer very much over his career hasn't been at that level until winning a Cy Young basically in the last year in a different circumstances, you know, with the whole bubble type of, only playing the same division, that kind of stuff. So, it can happen, but it's really just one guy who can really do that. Anybody else is just...
So it's just that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody else would be a net loss.
Right.
Yeah, well, I'm curious. And, you know, and then you figure the Dodgers have to anticipate that based on the, you know, kind of the lay of the land.
Yes.
Even though
and a lot of teams need
Bill Plashkin is ridiculous, stupid article notwithstanding. As soon as things do shake out, whether there are criminal charges filed or, quite frankly, whether they're not, you would have to think that the Dodgers are probably going to part ways with yes. Bauer. But if there's some way that they anticipate that he'll be in a legal situation that allows them to get out from under the whatever contract they have with him,
I think they'll do that immediately.
Do you think that will kind of encourage them to go after, maybe, you know, be more likely to go after somebody like Scherzer, or just, you know, spend their money in some way, shape, or form?
I think they're going to get somebody. Whether it's somebody like Scherzer does kind of depend on the whole situation, because at the moment they're pretty much down to two healthy starting pitchers.
Can they replace Bauer's spot on the roster because he's suspended, or he's just kind of holding a place?
He's just holding a
place.
That's
a shame.
The administrative leave, he's getting paid. No. They would need to cut him and take the loss, because they would still be on the on the hook for the
That's why they can't cut him right now. They have to wait for it to play out, so they can do that.
I mean, at some point maybe they can bring up some sort of I don't know what the major league contracts are. I'm sure there's some sort of behavioral clause, that kind of thing, criminal activity that they could, maybe even a morals clause. I don't know, those things still pop up sometimes. They could figure out a way to avoid it, but that's very rare. It's very hard to do that in the major league. But there are examples of guys. You know, the guy I'm thinking of most recently is Osuna, who was with the Blue Jays, was had a criminal case in Canada, because this happened in Toronto, a domestic violence incident.
What happened with the whole Urias situation?
With Urias, he was put on administrative leave and he was never convicted, but I believe he was put on probation, some sort of probationary behavioral thing that he had to do for a year. And
when
he complied.
The best case scenario for Trevor Bauer personally, he would want to go the way of Urias.
Right. But as I think...
But as the way it looks right now, it doesn't look like that's probably going to be the way it rolls out.
No.
Whether or not he's charged criminally or not.
Right.
Just based on public perception and like...
The PR train has left the station.
Yeah, we'll see how that works out.
Yes.
All right. We're just rooting for the truth to come out, obviously. Right. And we're also rooting for the things that are put in place to handle these situations just to be allowed to happen.
Yes.
Like, there's a reason why you have administrative leave, and that doesn't mean that you know hang the guy before you know all the facts situation, even
right.
if the dude deserves hanging.
Although there's another player from the Nationals,
Jamal Counterpoint,
Starling Castro, where the team has pretty much said we're done with the guy, he's never going to play for us again. Mm-hmm. And he's just on administrative leave, so there's degrees to this. All sorts of stuff. I wouldn't be surprised if the next CBA, which is coming up after this year, where the Players Association and Major League Baseball negotiate their contract for player conduct and you know, whatever, free agency, all that stuff, that the domestic violence rules or whatever's in place gets a little bit more codified.
I'm sure the way we're going, that in 5 years from now, if a Twitter poll says that you committed the crime, you'll be sent onto a Running Man like show, Arnold Schwarzenegger and Richard Dawson.
That's a poll,
and you'll just be you'll have to compete
that's
for your life. I'm pretty sure that's where we're headed.
That's on Amazon Prime. It's one of my favorite guilty pleasures, by the way.
That could be one of my that and Total Recall are probably my favorite Schwarzenegger movies. But yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we're right on board there. All right. Enough Dodgers talk. We're waiting to see if they can pull out this game. Still down 6-5 to the Giants in the eighth inning. Jamal, you know, we're sitting here on a night when the Milwaukee Bucks won the world title, and you got really frustrated by
a long season.
By a super hot take, scorching hot take that aired on Fox. Who
FS1,
was
FS1, Chris Broussard.
Chris Broussard. Yeah. 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 The hot take being that if Giannis, which now he is a world champion, if Giannis wins a world championship, this is one of the only examples of a guy doing it, quote, by himself.
Without a super
unquote,
team.
Without a super team in recent history.
Right.
And he should be lauded for that.
Right. He specifically said, Mike Jordan never did that. LeBron never did that. And I was just like, wait, what?
Yeah, so what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I was just like, wait a minute. Well, who was the super team that LeBron was with they won a championship with? I think he specifically said that last year LeBron was on a super team. And I'm thinking to myself, what constitutes a super team? Because that was not a super team. And everybody said it wasn't a super team. Everybody said it wasn't a super team before the season started. Even after the Lakers had shot up to the top of the Western Conference, and then there was delay, they still weren't a super team. When the bubble started, they weren't a super team. When the playoffs started, they weren't a super team. So I want to know, what the hell is a super team?
As a devil's advocate, I would say that maybe they're just talking about you having more than one top five or top 10 player on the team, I suppose. But certainly last year's Lakers team wasn't even though the combining of LeBron and AD was quite a thing, it's not like it was like a Heatle sort of thing.
Right, exactly. Nobody thought that. In fact, they weren't
not
even...
Not a Nets of this year sort of thing.
Right. They were not even considered the
not
best
team. Not a Warriors with Durant kind of thing.
Right. They were not even considered the best team in their city, for crying out loud. Everybody had the Clippers ahead. Everybody said the Clippers were super... People were comparing the Clippers to the best teams. Certainly defensively, they said that was going to be the best team defensively that we've seen since, I think it was compared to like the Jordan, Rodman, Pippen Bulls. So obviously they were considered a super team. I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous the way these guys fold themselves in knots to sort of negate anything that LeBron James has done as a great in the NBA. He only came to LA
or
to
just
make
their
movies.
Stupid scorching hot take out.
Yes.
There.
Yeah. It's there's like no nuance. There's not even any. And of course, you know, everyone's favorite Skip Bayless just woke up this morning to say what constitutes a super team and why LeBron is always on a super team. And I was like, it's just ridiculous.
What makes a team a super team? LeBron James is on it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's automatically a super team.
Yes, LeBron winning the championship is a super team.
I mean, all time great, right? Yes. Yeah. I mean, you could say the same thing about Shaq on the Lakers.
Right.
Kobe on the later Lakers. You know, Jordan on his six championship teams. The Magic Lakers,
Worthy,
right? Whatever. You know, yes. So it's all very very silly. I would take the opposite criticism of it, and I would say, look, the Milwaukee Bucks just won their first title in
50 years.
Right. There is not any sort of, just like the Lakers last year, there's not any sort of asterisk on it.
Right.
It's a NBA championship, fully gets all credit due.
Yes.
With that in that being said, though, let's be careful about how much we laud any of the Milwaukee Bucks, Giannis included, for winning this title, considering if you want to measure up on the luck scale of how said team won the title. You can make the argument that this year's finals was the luckiest two finals participants in recent memory.
Probably.
And I'm not trying to take anything away from Giannis, but if you're going to use Giannis's title to take away from other titles we've won recently,
yes,
they got to take on a fully beaten and battered Miami team.
In the first round.
You know, and by the way, you know, and then when they go to the Nets, who everybody thought was going to be the, you know, the odds-on favorite in the East.
Nobody
absolutely shell themselves.
Yes.
Yeah.
They were relying on Joe Harris.
And they took on a Suns team that got to go through, you know, that was trailing the Lakers 2-1 when AD goes down.
When their super team went down.
Exactly. And then in the second round, they played a Nuggets team without Jamal Murray.
Right.
And then in the semifinals, in the conference finals, they played a Clipper team without Kawhi Leonard.
Yep.
So, I mean, just let's just let that one lie.
Right.
Let's just let that one lie. This is a title in a weird year. It's a title. Can't take it away from Giannis.
Yep.
He won that title. He scored 50 freaking points in the closeout game.
Yep.
He is the freaking man.
Yes.
Right? He is the absolute freaking man.
Yes.
But don't be like, oh, this title's better than that title.
Please.
Every time you win a title, you have to be extremely good and extremely
lucky.
So fuck off.
Yes.
Chris Broussard. That's
yes.
all I'm saying.
Yes. And since we're, you know, breaking news, apparently, so now the great Irvin Magic Johnson has tweeted out that if Chris Paul opts out with the Suns, maybe signs with the Lakers, then there will be a super team.
Wouldn't that be a thing?
That would be very interesting.
Can you imagine that?
It'll be funny. We got Dwight Howard back, right?
Yeah.
And now we might actually get Chris Paul to play. It's not going to happen.
Maybe they'll get Dwight Howard back.
Well, maybe they
again.
Again.
Third time's a charm.
And maybe this time they'll hook him up with Chris Paul like they were trying to in before the basketball reasons got thrown in there. And who knows? I mean, anything is possible, right? I'm sure LeBron was at Game 5 rooting for Chris Paul. They're best friends. They've always wanted to play with each other. I don't think the money's going to be there. Chris Paul.
Stranger things have definitely happened.
Yes. Chris Paul definitely he wants to get paid. You know, the Knicks is always an opportunity that comes up. But it'll be interesting to see what happens. Of course, we've already jettisoned Kyle Kuzma to the Sun. Not the Suns, but literally off.
What do you think about the Lakers that are being, you know, shopped around? I mean, even, you know, whether it's Kuzma or Schroeder or whoever.
It's just. It's,
where are you at with that?
It's kind of nuts. I, you know, people feel like now you got to win in the NBA with having superstars and then the occasional role player. And I just think that this team was so good when they were playing and they were healthy that you can't just go all in on these deals and things like that and think it's going to turn out all right, because you're just going to hamper their chances for later on. I mean, maybe they need that 20th pick, wherever it is in the NBA draft. You know, maybe Kyle Kuzma just needs to be able to play with AD and LeBron and I have the season be interrupted and then have to deal with the bubble situation or have a season start earlier than expected and have to deal with all these injuries. I mean, we don't know what this team can do with these players. I think people are just too quick to sort of jettison everybody and think that it's going to work out in the end and lead to another championship.
You know, and you've been batting around the NBA as far as like who all these players are supposed to leave for. Kuzma is going to leave and somehow they're going to get Damian Lillard, or as you're bringing up, Chris Paul, or, you know, Schroeder's going to sign and trade and they're going to get somebody else in that whole deal. Who the heck knows how it's all going to work out? As far as Schroeder goes, on one hand, certainly him turning down that $8 million contract kind of signaled he was looking for something bigger. But on the other hand, is there anybody that's going to pay him any more?
No.
And I still, you know, it's funny. Schroeder's taking a lot of incoming because of him having, what, two separate stints on the protocol.
Yes.
Not coming through in the playoffs. But I would still say that I hope that, unless they make some crazy trade for some superstar, you know, notwithstanding, I'm really hoping that Schroeder comes back, because I want to see him as the third banana on this team and actually get to be the third banana,
yes.
Not have to be the second banana when AD is hurt the whole season or LeBron's hurt the other half of the season. And I think that if they can get him to see some reason and actually sign for, you know, if no other team kind of goes out of their way to get him, I still think that could be a very, very successful kind of trio of a core there, with LeBron and AD obviously as the big heavyweights, and then having Schroeder being as that next level kind of contributor. So I want to see that happen.
Yeah, health and consistency, and this is a different team. That's what it comes down to.
Absolutely.
Yes.
You know, and whether they, you know, Kuzma stays or goes, it seems like he's more on the, like you said, they're trying to launch him into the sun, as you said. I wouldn't be upset to see him come back either. I mean, I feel like, you know, if they can hold on to those young guys, it's funny. What are the odds that they hold on to Caruso, Horton Tucker, Kuzma, and Schroeder?
One of those.
One's probably going. But I don't know. It's going to be a shame when they do. Montrezl Harrell is
gone.
Except for he can make a whole heck of a lot of money if he stays with the Lakers, right?
Right. But
so he might stay around and be kind of a discontented kind of dude. Even though, you know, if you think about what could happen, like with the other Laker bigs going out, he might end up having a bigger role if he stays around.
Right.
So I'm real curious to see how that works.
Yeah. It's going to be an interesting offseason for them. I don't think it's a make or break the way a lot of people talk about. But then again, we are talking about LeBron saying he wants to play. He wants to retire a Laker. He mentioned that in the time that we were gone.
Were you convinced by that?
I believe him. I believe he likes the organization. I believe that he's been happy with the way things have been. Obviously, they won a championship. He's been happy with the way he's been treated. I feel like he's really close to Jeannie Buss. I feel like he likes the sort of family atmosphere that he's afforded.
And if you're really rich or really poor, LA's the city for you.
Right, exactly.
I mean, we just don't like people they're anywhere in the middle, but you know.
Right, exactly. Yeah, this is true. No, exactly. So I think he would be content to finish out his career here. but every year that you lose where they don't win a championship or they're not contending for a championship, it feels like a lost opportunity. So it's going to be an interesting offseason, but I just don't feel like it's the make or break the way people are saying it is.
Yeah, yeah, but bottom line, I mean, you know, you have LeBron, you have AD, you're going to be one of the front runners for the title regardless of that. It's just, you know, what pieces you assemble around them.
Because they're a super team.
Because they are a super team. Speaking of the other super team in town, Kawhi Leonard, it looks like he's going to have surgery.
Yeah.
Had surgery. Out for most of the 21-22 season.
Yeah.
Maybe come back for the playoffs. It's funny, like, you know, if he comes back for the playoffs, they're going to be right in the situation the Lakers were this year, where they're like, can we put things back together and kind of make a run at it? Do you see the Clippers kind of trying to keep it together or shipping somebody out of town? Or it's kind of a...
I think they kind of...
Like, how effing cursed are they? I know that's been, you know, we're a week late on that criticism, but I mean, it's just another example of the Clipper curse.
Pretty much. I mean, I really don't know. They're more in a make or break situation because...
Just move. Your luck's not going to change until you move. Leave the city limits.
Because I don't think in their head they thought, well, we're going to need Paul George to carry us for a whole year.
Orange County Clippers.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
No, well, they're supposedly going to Inglewood. So.
Las Vegas Desert Clippers. Sounds great.
Yeah, actually, there's a new basketball arena resort being built. Even
Seattle
though
Clippers of the Sound.
Yeah.
Sounds terrific.
There's room. They could do it. Yeah, it's yeah, they're
Mexico City Clippers. First internet.
Viva los Clippers. Viva los Clippers.
Another international team.
Yeah, exactly. You're in Vancouver. Go up to Vancouver.
Honolulu Clippers. Hell of a road trip.
Yeah, that's going to be crazy. No, I honestly, I don't know what they're in a tougher situation, I think, than the Lakers because.
Oh, you think?
Yeah, with that injury, that just talk
plus,
about. A
why is Kawhi such an ass?
Yeah.
Like, look, I mean, like, even if you make the strongest argument you make for like player empowerment, I'm going to get yours. Da, 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 you know, it's the player against the league and the corporation, the man, and all that stuff. He's just an ass.
Yeah,
like, not just to him, not just to the team, but to all of his teammates.
Yeah.
If I were a teammate of Kawhi Leonard's, like, I mean, obviously, you're like, dude, like, you're awesome. You're like one of the NBA greats. You're like one of the all time greats the last 20 years, or whatever. But oh my God, like all the stories you hear about just how he operates in relation to the rest of the team. It's, like, I would not want to.
It's like a city. Oh, it's like a city within a city. He's like the Vatican City in the middle of it.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. Pretty
yeah,
much.
Kawhi the Pope.
Yeah, Kawhi the Pope. Hilarious.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I don't know. It's strange. They're in a pickle. I mean, you could easily see them not making the playoffs next year.
The Roman Clippers.
Yeah.
Ship them off. First European team, NBA. Straight from the Vatican.
That's funny.
Yeah. Kawhi can ride the games on a Pope-mobile.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, there. Whatever happens with them, it's going to be very interesting.
Oh my God, Jamal, do you have anything else to talk about?
Yeah, unfortunately, speaking of curses, the freaking Rams.
Oh God, the Rams! Don't even remind me. Cam Akers. I made a trade for him in my freaking keeper league. I trade for Cam Akers. Immediately blows out his Achilles.
Yep.
This is bullshit.
Yes.
I'm so mad about that.
Yep. Pretty much. That was the news this morning.
He
tore his Achilles working out in the offseason. It's just crazy. They penciled him in as their number one. He was their best back at the end of the season. I mean, they have some depth at the running back, but
he was going to be one of my bell cows. I had Dalvin Cook and Cam Akers.
Yep.
Now I just have Dalvin Cook.
Yeah.
I'm not happy about this.
That's a tough one. That's going to be hard to overcome. That was one of the issues, right? When they couldn't get their running game going, they looked very pedestrian. So, you know, unfortunately for Mr. Stafford, he's going to have to carry some load.
They still got Darrell Henderson out of Memphis, and he could be.
Yes.
Very good.
Yeah. When he
and they might go out there. Hey, Todd Gurley, trying to return to L.A.?
Well,
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
There's another guy out there, too.
But they said they weren't going to look for somebody in free agency.
We'll see.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll see. They're going to watch and see how Darrell Henderson runs the ball.
Right.
The Rams are set up to have a great season. I, at first, was like, whatever, Stafford. I didn't think that was going to be a big thing.
Yeah.
Dude, I know you're a golf lover. You're a big golfer. But I don't know. I think the Rams are pretty damn good this year.
I
even with the injury to Cam Akers, because they can, you know, they can figure out a running game.
Yes.
Their defense is going to be good. Right?
Yes, their defense is going to be great.
They're playing in their new stadium with people in it for the first time.
Right.
Maybe. We'll see how the L.A. City handles that one.
Well, my only fear is they're just in a tough division.
L.A. County, I should say.
49ers are going to be tough. Seattle's always tough, although I think
they're... 49ers are going to be breaking a new quarterback, quite possibly.
Right.
But Seattle's tough.
Seattle's tough, but the Rams...
Cardinals are tough.
And the Cardinals will be tough, yeah. And another year of Kyler Murray. You know, those that's tough matchups for them. That's the only thing. If they were in a different division... you know, I certainly think they would have to be the favorites to come out.
I still think we should be looking for a very competitive season from the Rams.
Yes.
And from the Show Me Your Lightning Bolt Chargers.
Chargers.
Let's go LA Chargers.
Hopefully.
Justin Herbert.
Stay healthy.
Austin Eckler.
Bosa. Get Bosa back.
Josh Kelly, I want you to be the secure number two back. Get Justin Jefferson out of town or
Keenan
Justin
Allen.
Jackson out of town.
Keenan Allen, of course. Callum.
Yeah.
Best wide receiver in the
Mike AFC Williams,
West.
Man.
Yep.
Crazy, making crazy catches and like... You know, awkward landings.
Just be healthy.
I think LA football this year, both college teams, I mean, I hope the Chargers suck, but I don't think they're going to. Both college teams, both pro teams, I think can have some pretty nice seasons.
No.
Relatively speaking.
Yeah, I would agree. But we'll see. They got but health. It's health. It's all about health. Look.
As long as all their players don't blow out their freaking Achilles. Yeah.
You can't have.
Damn it.
You can't have, guys losing their season before. Training camp starts. That's the thing. It's crazy.
Absolutely brutal. All right, Jamal. Do you have anything else to talk about now?
That's it.
All right. I'm sorry. It's late. We're waiting to see if the Dodgers can bring this game home. Right now, there's a guy in first for the Giants. Buster Posey's at the plate. Two outs. And a wild pitch advances the runner second. Jeez. It doesn't look like the Dodgers are going to win this game, but we'll see. They're going to have one more crack at it. After going in the ninth. Chance for a walk-off.
Yeah, doubt it.
Maybe they'll win on a walk-off ball out of play in the infield like I lost in Utah. That sucked.
A gopher's going to snatch it.
Oh, God. Jamal, what do we say?
We're the West Coast. We're the best coast. We're West Coast bias.
The West Coast bias.
Dude, bro, we place a ball on the West Coast.